Good morning, everybody. We are going to call this regular meeting of the San Diego Housing Commission Board of Commissioners to order. It is 9:01. If you want to speak on an item, please complete a speaker request form. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony will be limited to 15 minutes total per side. Non-agenda public comments will be heard at the beginning of each meeting, and if you would like to address the board on a topic that's not on the agenda, please fill out a white speaker request form. If you would like to pull something from consent, which we do not have today, we will talk about that next time, to speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. Those who wish to speak in opposition to an item must complete a pink form. Those in favor of the item must complete a gold form. With that, we will move to non-agenda public comment. Do we have any speaker requests? Okay, great. Any commissioner comments? No? All right. We're already rocking and rolling. And the report from the president and CEO.
As always, ma'am, I have a few comments to make, please. I'd like to announce that on Wednesday of this week, Standard & Poor's Global Ratings informed us that they have reaffirmed the Housing Commission's AA credit rating for the sixth consecutive year. Among the positive comments in the report, Standard & Poor's wrote, "In our view, the Commission effectively maintains a level of financial stability while achieving its overall affordable housing goals." A AA rating is the second highest rating Standard & Poor's provides, and it is the highest rating that will give an agency like ours. The reason we can't get the higher one is because we are so dependent on funding by the federal government, and the report says that. Our rating is based on a very strong financial profile and very strong overall strategy and management. And this rating, I think, continues to reflect well upon the direction the City Council and this board provide. The leadership of this agency, the financial stewardship in particular, Tracy McDermott, and our entire financial services department, thank you, Tracy, and the good work of the entire agency. And I'll point out this is a rating of the entire agency on how well we conduct our business. So again, we have gotten our AA credit rating for Standard & Poor's reaffirmed for the sixth consecutive year. Thank you, everybody. Two grand openings that have occurred since the last board meeting. On September 20, the development known as The Beacon separated its grand opening just a few blocks from here on C Street, across the street from City College. The Beacon provides some 43 affordable studio apartments with supportive services for San Diegans who experience homelessness. These units are among the more than 7,600 housing opportunities that our Homelessness Action Plan, Housing First San Diego, which was issued in November of 2014, has created now in less than 5 years for San Diegans experiencing homelessness or the risk of homelessness. I'd like to thank Vice Chair Klumpner for representing the Housing Commission at this event. Also represent people who were there speaking to the issue were Todd Gloria, State Assembly Majority Whip, and San Diego City Council Member Chris Ward. We also had representatives in the Office of Congressman Scott Peters, California State Senate Pro Tem, President Pro Tem Tony Atkins, and Mayor Faulkner also participated. The Housing Commission invested a $3.2 million loan toward the development of the Beacon and also awarded 43 federal project-based housing vouchers to this development, which was constructed by the Wakeland Housing nonprofit. I'll point out supportive services also provided by Father Joe's, Mental Health Systems, and Pathways. The second grand opening since the last meeting of this board was on September 26th, and that was the property called Pacifica at Playa del Sol. And this is a partnership development that serves San Diegans with developmental disabilities. Provides a total of 42 affordable apartments in Otay Mesa for families with low income. And close to 30% of those units, or 12 apartments, are set aside for families with members who have developmental disabilities, such as autism, cerebral palsy, or epilepsy. The San Diego Regional Center is coordinating services for these residents. San Diego Housing Commission authorized the issuance of approximately $10.8 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds toward this development. And this development was done by the Chelsea Investment Corporation with the other partners as well. I'd also like to point out an award that a property that the Housing Commission is affiliated with won. The Alpha Lofts won the Building Industry Association, or BIA, Icon Award on September the 21st. This is a partnership with Chelsea. It was recognized as by the BIA's award as the best affordable community of the year for this past year. And this, I'll point out, is another Housing First San Diego development. Alpha Lofts provides 52 furnished affordable apartments to military veterans who have experienced homelessness. The Housing Commission awarded some 52 federal rental housing vouchers and also a $5.2 million loan toward the development of Alpha Lofts. I'll point out that these three properties, both the two grand openings and the award, represent important elements of the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego plan, where we took the lead in San Diego in many respects on dealing with the homelessness issue. And I'll point out again that over the last nearly 5 years, we have created over 7,600 housing opportunities for households to either end their homelessness or to avoid it in the first place. That is a prelude to my final announcement. That is that effective October the 14th, the Housing Commission staff will be presenting the strategic plan for homelessness that we've been developing over the past year to the City Council at a special call meeting by Council President Georgette Gomez. The report was completed yesterday. We'll be rolling out informally to authorized individuals next week. And I'd love to create some meetings next week with you all to give you advance notice of what it's going to be. I'm very pleased with the report. I think staff, Lisa Jones taking the lead, but also with Jeff Davis and other folks in Lisa's department involved in this, is going to be a good one. And I will offer a further presentation of that strategic plan at the November Housing Commission Board meeting. So with that, Madam Chair, that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know that homeless report does represent a lot of work, so I want to reiterate our thanks to Lisa for shepherding so much of that through the Housing Commission side, as well as Jeff. And I know that Keeley is also here from the mayor's office, and this is just an incredible collaborative effort without having seen the report yet. So I'm hopeful that it is as positive as I believe it probably will be. Next item is the approval of the minutes from the September 6th meeting. Do we have a motion? Okay. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Our first action item is the Housing Trust Fund variance request for Access Youth Academy.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm Julia Sauer, Director of Grants and Compliance, and with me is Jasmine Kotler, Special Programs Manager, and I believe Mr. Christensen will continue with the presentation.
Yes, thank you very much. Because over the years there have been variances granted and denied, and there's some historical perspective that I think the board should know, I was asked to give the presentations on both items 100 and 101. As the board knows, the City of San Diego has adopted a housing impact fee and requires that fee be paid when commercial developments are approved and constructed. And the purpose of the fee is to help fund the construction and provision of low and very low income units to house the employees that are actually generated by virtue of the new construction. There are, and the process goes, the permit is sought through DSD, and the DSD sets the amount of the fee, and upon having that fee set, an applicant may ask for a variance on two grounds. One, that there are that it's there's a hardship by paying the fee. Over the last 20 years, there have been two requests for variance based upon hardship, both of which have been denied. There's a requirement that four findings be made by the commission, and in those other two cases, they were unable to do it. The other way, and in this case, the staff is recommending on this first item that the hardship variance not be granted because of the inability to make the findings. The second basis upon which a variance may be granted is based upon the low employee density variance. Generally, that the sections of the code provide that if there are few or no additional employees generated by the new construction, that a variance could be granted. In the past, there have been 52 requests for low employee density variances, 49 of which have been approved in part or in total. But in those cases, the number of additional employees have been determined to be none to two, and there have been no variances granted for developments where there were more than two employees generated. In this case, in the first case, the application shows that there are 10 additional employees that will be generated in connection with this project. And for that reason, the staff has recommended that there be no low employee variance granted. However, there is an ability for the board to set a fee that is lower than the fee being imposed. Currently, on this project, the fee being imposed is at the rate of $1.65 per square foot. You can set a fee as low as 80 cents per square foot. With respect to this project, if you did that, the fee that has originally been set at $36,256 would be reduced to $17,600, which would be a reduction of $18,656. For the reasons stated in the staff report, staff is recommending that the variances be denied, or in the alternative, if you decide to do something, that you lessen the amount of per square foot fee to be imposed. So I'd be happy to answer questions, and Julie is here to do the same.
Do we have any commissioner comments or questions? No. Okay. I do. The 165 that was determined, by DSD or by Housing Commission staff? DSD. Okay. Because given the breakdown on where things can fall in determining the fee, it looks like there are set. So that's interesting. There's flexibility. I just wanted to get a feel on where that decision was made. Okay. So for commissioners' context, the assessed fee is $36,000 and some change. By reducing it to the 80 cents per square foot alternative, that's a reduction of over $18,000 in the fee. I know that we're all familiar with the housing impact fee and why this exists. So I think we're looking for a motion. If we have additional questions of council, or I can just power through. Anything? Okay. Given that, I will go ahead and make a motion that we do accept the 80 cents per square foot fee for the Access Youth Academy's request. I am a little curious about the lack of financial documents I see in this. Did we get some sort of background document that explains exactly what sort of deficit they'd have in the project if they were to be assessed the full fee?
If I might, there was, with the application, there was a financial analysis pro forma from the years 2019 through 2026, it does not show specifically what impact this fee would have upon their operations, but a general picture that was painted for 2019 shows a deficit of $18,412 in 2019, going to a surplus in the following years, in years 2020, 2021, and up to 2026, where $250,000 in excess would be generated. So the only year in which there would be a deficit is in the first year.
While I am comfortable making the motion and I am glad to have that feedback, I would want us to be very explicit going forward in these sorts of applications. I know we have two today, but if it does pop up in the future, and as our Housing Impact Fund does become a little bit more present in many people's minds in policy debates, we really need to be thinking about the decisions that we're making. And if folks do request a waiver, I would like us to really fully understand or at least have some transparency in what that's going to look like. And it does seem to me that the $18,600 reduction then would cover that deficit. And as a nonprofit who is community serving, I think that we can rely on the benefit they would provide, particularly, I hope, to Housing Commission clients in particular. But I do know we have comments from the CEO.
Ordinarily, Madam Chair, I come to you with any item we bring to you, I've got a clear recommendation on. This is an interesting one. These are both de minimis amounts, and these are both social organizations that deliver needed social services. I have the authority to approve up to $15,000 myself, and I would have approved that for both of these that they come to me with the stroke of the pen because of the nature of what they are. It's just staff did the right thing because this is structurally not their ability to make. So I think in this case, and these are the only two requests that have come during my 11-year tenure here. So this is an interesting one. And on the one hand, if we agree to waive both of them, it sets a precedent. We could see others come in. On the other hand, given the nature of these two businesses, I'm equivocal about it, frankly. So I think 80 cents is great. I would be willing to accede to whatever this board decides to do here.
Thank you, Mr. Klempner, Vice Chair Klempner.
I agree with everything that's just been said in terms of the nature of the organizations being the extraordinary factor here. Otherwise, I don't think we'd be considering it at all. I am curious, though, and I'm amenable to the suggestion going forward. Do we have any sense of how many other organizations of a similar nature, other nonprofits, are paying the full fee? I know that's probably an impossible question to answer on the spot.
Yeah, we don't have that information, though.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the only thing that's giving me pause is that I'm assuming that there are other organizations that we would also view in the same light that are not requesting the same thing. So I would just kind of add to that I think if we do this, that is certainly not a guarantee that even a similar situation in the future would be approved. And I think given that, this doesn't come up very often. Hopefully it continues to not. But if it does, I think we would have to think more holistically about how we would handle these requests. But hopefully these are the only two we have.
I know that the linkage fee was set in place in 1989. It's been amended in dollar terms twice. It was cut in half in 1996. And then was restored to its 1989 levels in 2014, I believe it was. And I know that sometime in the next year or two, this is an issue that is scheduled to be reheard. So I think structurally this is something we should have dealt with last time, we'll deal with the next time. I see these two as really not the kind of organization that the linkage fee probably would have applied to if we thought it through. So I think reducing it, I can understand. I could also understand, frankly, if we make clear on the record that this is a two-time only thing time we do it. Anybody else that comes in has either got to abide by what my level of authority is, or they've got to provide exact justification. I see this as a learning experience for all of us. Either way, you all decide.
Yeah, I'll just add that I think that's a great point, that if the linkage fee issue is reopened in the future, we should probably remember this and make sure that we're requesting that the scope of who it applies to be carefully defined so that we're not having to make ad hoc decisions on an ongoing basis.
Well, something to look forward to next year then. We do have a motion that we decrease the square foot or the fee per square foot from $1.65 to 80 cents. I've moved. Do we have a second? Second by Vice Chair Klempner. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And I believe 102 is going to be a really similar discussion. And that is a similar request, Housing Trust Fund Variance Request for KIPP, K-I-P-P, maybe, San Diego.
Yes, this one's slightly different. There was no request on this variance for the low employee variance. They only asked for the hardship variance. And again, none of those have ever been granted. And the reason they haven't been granted is that there are four specific findings that need to be met, and those findings need to be supported by facts. And in this case, the facts were not set forth in the application, and the staff was unable to come to a conclusion that the findings were made. The findings include a statement that special circumstances are unique to the project that justify the grant of the variance, that the project would not be feasible without the modification, that a specific and substantial financial hardship would occur if the variance were not granted, and no alternative means of compliance are available which would be more effective in attaining the purposes of the fee than the relief requested. There were no, although there was a letter in support of the requested variance, it really didn't hit the issues that are before the board today. And there was some financial information submitted that showed that in the first year in 2020, that there would be a projected deficit of only $1,169 if the fee were paid, going to a surplus in the very next year of $115,000, and at the end of in 2030, a surplus of $98,000. So the staff felt that there was not a substantial hardship in this instance, and therefore recommends that the variance not be granted in this case based upon hardship.
Thank you. Can we talk about why the KIPP project was assessed at 80 cents on per square foot versus the previous project was $1.65 per square? Was that also DSD's call, or did we already provide a lower?
Yeah, that is a call that DSD does. In the ordinance, there are classifications of different types of commercial development that generate different fees. And research and development is the one that generates the lowest fee. And as this board probably recalls, that fee has been frozen at 80 cents per square foot. And my belief is that DSD set the fee using the research and development because it most closely, the school use most closely relates to that classification rather than office, hotel, or retail. So that's my belief based upon the experience we've had.
Thank you, and I'm sorry to have made you a spokesperson for DSD. I understand that none of us were in that room. Okay, do we have any commissioner comments? Just to reiterate, this is at the lowest allowable rate, the 80 cents per square foot assessment. And because it's affiliated with a public charter school, I believe they've decided that would align closer with the research component versus office, which the previous one, although kind of similar in intention, was assessed at the $1.65. Do we have any feedback, questions, motion? Vice Chair Klenner.
Well, I guess what I'm uncomfortable with is that we're sort of coming up with a system for assessing these things on the fly. But, I mean, it seems like the distinction between this one and the last one is the financials. And I'm sort of struggling to see how we would justify it, given the financials that were just stated of a $1,000 deficit and then surpluses. I mean, if this were a true hardship, I mean, particularly given the type of institution we're talking about, that would sound great. But I'm kind of struggling to wrap my head around why they need this more than what those funds would be used for, which is also very important.
Fair point. Any other commissioner comments? Do we have feedback from President and CEO? Go ahead.
There's an old principle that the smaller the item is, the longer it takes to make a decision to deal with it. We've got a $21,000 issue here followed by a $101 million issue. My apologies to the board for both 100 and 101. Again, staff did the right thing. Structurally, we had to. But this is something of this nature should not come to this board for a decision in the first place. It should be taken care of by program structure. And when we deal with the linkage fee in the near future, this is the kind of thing we'll take care of. My recommendation at this point, Madam Chair, would be to follow the recommendations that council outlined. And we'll sit down and talk with these people again, and if they can show a true hardship, I'll either deal with it on my level or we'll bring it back to you.
Thank you. There is a motion by Commissioner Davis that we disallow the waiver of the fee. And do I understand that's me that we will hold at the 80 cents per square foot? Thank you. Do we have a second? Seconded by Vice Chair Klumpner. Just to provide one final comment, I do appreciate that this was brought to us. I do not feel at all like this was anybody's mistake. These things are very hard. Building anything is very hard. Nonprofits are particularly at a disadvantage. I can sympathize with all of that. This is a very good exercise for folks as we walk into additional policy conversations around what to charge, how much, why, and when for all sorts of things when we grapple with our affordability crisis. So I very much appreciate that. We do have a motion on the floor and a second to hold at the 80 cents per square foot. So all those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Chuck. And moving on to item 102, this is the final bond authorization for 14th and Commercial. We have Colin Miller and JP Correa. Fellow commissioners, just keep in mind, item 102 and item 103 are a little bit of a twofer. So we have heard these before. You'll remember this from a meeting prior.
Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Council members, board members. My name is Colin Miller, Vice President, Multifamily Housing Finance. I'm joined today by Joe Correa, Senior Real Estate Project Manager for the 14th and Commercial Projects. Joe will be giving the presentation, and we also have members of the development team available to answer questions afterwards.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Joseph Correa with the Housing Finance Division. This item is the final bond authorization for 14th and Commercial Apartments. It's not working. There you go. The recommendations of the Housing Commission recommend the Housing Authority authorize issuance of up to $101 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds for the entity 14th and Commercial CIC to facilitate the new construction of 14th and Commercial apartments that will be located at 1 14th Street, San Diego. It will include 323 rental units that will remain affordable for 55 years. As background, this is a proposed new construction that features two contiguous residential high-rise buildings on one site. Basically, we have two companion reports before you today, 14th and Commercial Apartments and 14C VHHP Apartments. The combined total of these two projects is 407 units. They have been bifurcated. They started out as one project, but because of certain financing issues, specifically it was determined that some state funds and some veterans funds could not have restrictions layered onto the same units. So the developer's solution was to split the total 407 units into two separate projects. So now we have 326 units on this project and 81 units on the next project that I will present. In effect, these are two companion reports. They are very similar reports, except for certain differences in financing and population. This proposal will include a 14-story building and a contiguous 7-story building, and we will be closing both projects simultaneously. A condominium plan is being used to legally separate the two projects. We'll have two separate bond issues. Two projects will be processed as two separate companion items, as they are shown on your agenda today. The proposal is for the Housing Authority to issue up to $101 million of tax to multifamily housing revenue bonds. Earlier this year, you as the Housing Commission approved loans for these projects, and the Housing Commission Housing Authority approved certain preliminary steps required for bond issuances to obtain third-party financing. The co-developers who obtained that third-party financing, they've received, including a bond allocation from the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee and a tax credit allocation from the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee and certain other funds. Final bond issuance authorization requires both you as the commission and the Housing Authority to give a final approval. We have development details summarized in Table 1 of your report at pages 2 and 3. This project is 326 units. That includes 93 units for very low-income tenants, plus 230 permanent supportive housing units for homeless individuals who will receive assistance and project-based vouchers. It's a 14-story building, as I said, 65 parking spaces. It is a transit-oriented development very near the 12th and Imperial Trolley Station. Units mix has 281 studios, 17 one-bedrooms, 25 two-bedrooms, 3 unrestricted units for managers. It is supported by Housing First San Diego, the Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan. Co-developers of the nonprofit SVDP Manager, that's Father Joe's group, and the for-profit Chelsea Investment Corporation. Both of these are experienced. Both have previously obtained Housing Commission loans. Both have successfully implemented those loans. There's a development team summary at Table 2, page 5 of the report. This is a map that shows you approximately where it's located in the downtown area. This shows the subject site itself. It's next, very near Father Joe's Villages. It's currently a vacant lot. That's the site shown in more detail. And that's how it looks today, a vacant lot. Estimated sources and uses are summarized in Table 3, page 6 of the report. The total development cost is $150,997,243. That amounts to $463,182 per unit. Project costs do include prevailing wage because of the vouchers and also because of the utilization of home funds. This project previously received a Housing Commission residual receipts loan approval of $6,150,000. It has also received preliminary approval for 230 federal project-based housing vouchers. There is a summary at Table 4 with key performance indicators at page 7. There's a summary at Table 5 with comparable development projects at page 7. Affordability will range from 25 to 60% of area median income, and we summarize that in Table 6, page 10 of the report. Estimated development timeline, if you approve this item today, then we go to the Housing Authority on October 15th for their review and approval. Estimated escrow closing and bond issue, your report says October 25th. That's been corrected to mid-November. They ran into some issues with some of the other financing. Starting construction would be in November of this year. Estimated construction completion, November 2021. Just to summarize the bond issuance, it's a proposed housing authority issuance of $101 million tax-exempt bonds. The developer is responsible for paying all the costs and the bond financing. We do follow the Housing Commission's bond issuance policy. The bonds do not financially obligate the city, the authority, or the Housing Commission, and neither the full faith and credit or the taxing power of the city or full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to payment bonds. In effect, these bonds are what's called conduit issuer bonds. In other words, the Housing Authority is a pass-through entity. In a conduit structure, the bonds are limited obligations of the issuer, and they're secured by a loan which the issuer assigns to a bond trustee. So the issuer is taking no credit risk. You, the Housing Authority, is the issuer for the project. If the project revenues do not support repaying the loan, then the bondholders or a third-party credit enhancer suffer the loss. This is an artist rendering. You can see in the upper left-hand corner what it will look like when completed. And one further artist rendering of what it will look like upon completion. With us today available for questions are the co-developers, and we and they are available for questions. So let me turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions? Do we want to take both of these items together, or do you want to do them independent? Do we have a motion, if so?
No questions for me. I'd suggest we take them both together, and if we can do that, and I would move to approve.
You want to take them both together, but you would move to approve? I don't know what that means. Would you like us to vote on that?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. We have a motion. Is there a second? Okay, seconded by Commissioner Hester. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Okay, any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you. Item 103. same presenters. The final bond authorization for 14 CVHHP apartments.
I'll do it. Okay, this is the other companion item to the previous item of 14, the commercial. The recommendations of the Housing Commission recommend Housing Authority authorize the issuance of $22 million in tax and multifamily housing bonds for 14th Commercial CICVHHP Limited Partnership to facilitate new construction of 14 CVHHP apartments, also located at 1 14th Street, San Diego. This will include 80 rental units that will remain affordable for 55 years. So the other one was 323 units. This one's 80 units. Virtually the same thing is happening. One difference between the two projects, this one has a second recommendation. The Housing Authority authorized issuance of up to $2 million in taxable multifamily housing bonds. Most of what we do is tax exempt. This one also includes a component of taxable. Proposed new construction, as we said before, two contiguous residential high-rise buildings on one site, a 14-story building and a 7-story building. And to solve the financing issues, they bifurcated the project of 407 units into two legally separate projects, 326 at the 14th Commercial Project and 81 units in the 14C, this one, VHHP project. Both projects are going to close escrow simultaneously. We have a condominium plan to detail the legal separation, two separate loans, two separate bond issuance, separated as two companion reports. So, again, we're proposing to issue $22 million of taxable multifamily housing bonds and $2 million of taxable multifamily housing revenue bonds. And you have previously approved loans for both of these projects. Co-developers have received bond allocations from the California Development Allocation Committee and tax credit allocations from the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee. Final bond issuance authority requires both you as the commission and the Housing Authority to approve these final approvals. Proposed new construction, 81 units. We have 40 units for low-income tenants, plus 24 units permanent supportive housing for persons experiencing homelessness with assistance from project-based vouchers. An additional 16 units, and this is one of the differences between the two projects, 16 units in this one for permanent supportive housing for veterans who are experiencing homelessness with assistance from a special kind of voucher called a Veterans Affairs Supportive Housing Project Voucher, project-based voucher, VASH. So the other one doesn't have veterans, this one does. 7-story building, the other one is a 14-story building, 16 parking spaces, the other one has 65 parking spaces. also transit-oriented because it's near the 12th Imperial Trolley Station. It is a mix of 76 units, studios, and 4 one-bedrooms and 1 unrestricted for a manager. Also supported by Housing First San Diego, which is the Housing Commission's Homelessness Action Plan. Co-developers, again, same co-developers, SVDP Management, Father Joe's Group, and the for-profit Chelsea Investment Corporation. Both are experienced. Both have previously obtained loans from us. We've been satisfied with the results from both in the past. Under the current NOFA, the developer applied for and received preliminary approval for 40 federal project-based housing vouchers. Preliminary approval only. We have to go through the process of signing agreements. Location maps, again, same location as the other one. They're basically right side by side with each other. That's the current site, which is vacant lot. Okay. Estimated sources and uses for this project, 81 units, total development cost is $39,954,379, $493,264 per unit. The project costs do include prevailing wage because of the vouchers and because of home funds included in the project financing. Summaries in Table 4 and Table 5 at page 7 of the report. Affordability will range from 30% to 60% of area median income. We summarize the affordability at page 10, table 6 of the report. Development timeline, as with the other project, they're both going along at the same pace, same closing cycle. We expect them to close escrow. Between now and then, we have a mountain of paperwork to go through. Mid-November is when we expect the closing. Estimated construction start would be at the end of November. Estimated construction completion, November 2021. Proposed issuance is $22 million of taxable bonds plus $2 million of taxable bonds. Developers are responsible for paying all the costs of the financing. We follow the bond policy of the commission. The bonds don't financially obligate the city, the authority, or the city, or the housing commission. Neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city nor full faith and credit of the housing authority are pledged to pay in the bonds. Again, this is the same artist rendering we had before. They're side by side. And that's how it looks. The tall one on the left is the 14-story building. The smaller one on the right is the 14C VHHP project, 7-story building. So, again, we have representatives and developers. We're happy to answer your questions or have them answer your questions. Turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you. Commissioner, comments or questions?
I just want to pause for a second here since we're breezing through this. I remember these very clearly from when we voted on them before. I remember the discussion about the parking spaces, which I think is great that we're utilizing the opportunity of the transit location to lower the cost per unit. There's no reason we should force everyone in one way or another to pay for parking that they don't necessarily need. This is a big project serving a very important AMI that we know is difficult to meet the demand there. And also the cost per unit on this is almost half of what we've approved on some other projects. So this is a fantastic, big project, important people being served by this, done in a very creative way. And I just wanted to say that before we breeze through it again. So thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Klempner. I'll also add just a quick comment that looking at both of those two companion pieces, they have 10 and 9 sources of funding, respectively, just to pause and appreciate the sort of, I don't know, serendipitous blood, sweat, and tears. Who knows how all that ends up coming together, but we have to appreciate the sort of complicated nature that these projects represent. And if you know, I just want to say thank you to the commission staff for making these things work in the end and for being creative and for sitting through that process with developers. And thank you to the developers who are really going out there and making these things a reality for our neediest residents. It is very appreciated. So and short of any other comments, do we have a motion? So moved by Vice Chair Klempner in the most informal way, seconded by Commissioner Davis. Thank you. All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. I do have speaker requests. Don't worry. We have not forgotten about you, but we do have two speakers on this one. We will take the public comment toward the end of the meeting, so everybody just kind of sit tight. Item 104 is recommend approval of the fiscal year 2020 operating agreement for the City of San Diego Bridge Shelter located at 1710 Imperial Avenue and amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the city's bridge shelters. Welcome.
Madam Chair, before you begin, can I make a statement concerning the environmental review in support of the CEQA exemption? We have a handout that is available in the room for the public, and it exists on your desk here as well. I'd like incorporated into the record this additional environmental review in support of CEQA exemption language. For the record, it says the amendment to the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the city bridge shelters and other actions related to the operation of the bridge shelter located at 1710 Imperial Avenue is exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, pursuant to CEQA guidelines, section 15061B3, Common Sense, which states that CEQA applies only to projects that have the potential for causing significant effect on the environment. The Common Sense exemption is applicable where it can be seen with certainty that there is no possibility that the activity in question may have a significant effect on the environment. The action would amend the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Housing Commission to include the oversight and administration of the new city bridge shelter located at 1710 Imperial Avenue and would allocate funding to support the shelter. This would not, on its own accord, cause a significant effect on the environment. This language was generated through DSD recently and is in support of the approvals coming forward on October 15th for this matter before both the City Council and the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego, and we wanted the record to reflect this updated environmental statement.
Thanks, Chuck. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of the Homeless Housing Innovations Division, and with me is Casey Nguyen, Director of Housing First Administration. You will also note that I believe you received a memo about some updated financials that have changed since the document was issued, and that has been updated in the presentation you're about to receive today as well. This morning, we're recommending that the Housing Commission authorize the execution of an agreement in an amount not to exceed $2,545,863 with Alpha Project for the homeless for the operation of the City of San Diego's Fourth Bridge Shelter to be located at 1710 Imperial Avenue. The initial contract term is for an 8.5-month period from October 16, 2019 through June 30, 2020. The contract contains 2 1-year options to renew for a total term of 2 years and 8.5 months. However, option years cannot be exercised unless the Council allocates the funds for the specific purpose through the City's annual fiscal year budget process and the Council approves extension of the current Memorandum of Understanding between the City of San Diego and the Housing Commission for oversight and administration of the bridge shelters. The annual operating budget amount for subsequent option years is anticipated not to exceed $3,508,074. In addition, we are recommending that the Housing Commission recommend approval of an amendment to the current Memorandum of Understanding with the City of San Diego to reflect the Housing Commission's oversight and administration of the Fourth Bridge Shelter. The program site is currently leased by the City of San Diego and will be made available for operations through an occupancy agreement between Alpha Project and the City. The Housing Commission administers the agreements for the City's Homeless Shelters and Services programs based on a Memorandum of Understanding with the City that first went into effect on July 2010. In June 2019, the Council approved the current MOU through June 30, 2020, with 4 additional option years. In November 2017, the Housing Commission Board, Housing Authority, and City Council authorized a separate Memorandum of Understanding between the City and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the City's 3 bridge shelters. An amendment and extension of the Bridge Shelter MOU to exercise the final option year was approved on June 11, 2019, extending the current term to June 30, 2020, in alignment with the current Bridge Shelter operating terms. The city's Bridge Shelter program uses the Housing First model to offer safe, low-barrier, temporary shelter and services to individuals and families experiencing homelessness while they work with staff to identify an appropriate permanent or longer-term housing solution. The Housing Commission currently contracts with three providers to operate the three Bridge Shelters in the City of San Diego, which provide a total of 665 shelter beds. The shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages provides 141 beds for single women and families with children. Alpha Project operates the shelter for single adults, which provides 324 beds. And the shelter operated by Veterans Village of San Diego provides 200 beds for veterans. Upon approval of the existing MOU, the existing MOU would be amended to include the administration of the fourth Bridge Shelter operated by Alpha Project, which is anticipated to provide a maximum of 150 additional beds for persons experiencing homelessness. The fourth Bridge Shelter is the result of actions the Housing Authority and City Council took on June 11, 2019. The Housing Authority voted to continue the operations of the Bridge Shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages at its current location at the San Diego Concourse, including portions of Golden Hall. In addition, the Housing Authority voted to delete from the operator agreements any reference to moving the shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages to the site at 17th and Imperial. In subsequent action on the same day, the City Council reallocated $1.6 million in Homeless Emergency Assistance Program, or HEAP funds, to support a fourth Bridge Shelter at the 17th and Imperial location. The recommended operator of the Bridge Shelter was identified through a competitive procurement process. On September 5, 2019, a formal request for proposals was issued. 93 vendors were notified through the Planet Bids website using both the Housing Commission and City portals. A pre-proposal meeting was held on September 11, 2019, with prospective respondents, and five proposals were received by the deadline of September 19, 2019. A source selection committee evaluated, scored, and ranked the responses and is recommending that the contract be awarded to Alpha Project for the Homeless, referred to as Alpha Project. Alpha Project is one of San Diego's most established social service providers with more than 20 years of experience meeting the needs of individuals and families experiencing homelessness. The organization has evolved over that time to keep pace with best practices, following nationwide models. Through its array of housing and supportive services, Alpha Project is able to serve more than 4,000 men, women, and children annually. Since 2017, the organization has operated the city's largest Bridge Shelter, the Single Adult Shelter, located at 16th and Newton Avenue, which provides 324 beds. Alpha Project follows the Housing First model, which recognizes the need to provide housing and shelter without precondition, in addition to ongoing supportive services. Alpha Project is mission-driven to both serve and employ persons with lived experience and places emphasis on ensuring their programs are a positive influence for the communities in which they operate. In addition to its portfolio of interim shelters, rapid rehousing, and permanent supportive housing programs, Alpha Project coordinates the availability of an array of services for clients to utilize, including substance abuse treatment, employment readiness and placement, transportation assistance, and health care, to name a few. As part of the Bridge Shelter's program design, persons experiencing homelessness within the City of San Diego who have been matched to a housing resource through the coordinated entry system are prioritized for shelter entry. A distinguishing factor of this fourth Bridge Shelter program is that, unlike the current Bridge Shelters, the target population is intended to be flexible to accommodate the changing needs and demographics of the city's unsheltered population. In addition, the program will adopt the prioritization levels implemented by the existing Bridge Shelters as part of the ongoing efforts to use a data-driven approach to prioritize and expedite placements into housing through the region's Coordinated Entry System, or CES. The CES by-name list is a new process and will prioritize persons in the Homeless Management Information System who have active profiles within the past 90 days and are ranked on list based on a variety of factors, including vulnerability assessments, whether they have experienced chronic homelessness, and active case conferencing with providers working directly with clients. The redefined service levels reflect how the redesigned CES operates. Is a more simplified and streamlined system that is intended to create better access to available housing subsidies. When bed availability exists, unsheltered persons who are highly vulnerable will be prioritized for placement. Staff will provide client-centered case management and will case conference with RTFH to determine their potential for placement on the by-name list or to identify other appropriate housing solutions to meet their needs.
In addition to basic hygiene and shelter services, clients of the Bridge Shelter will have an array of supportive services at their disposal, all of which are voluntary and are customized to ensure a client-centric approach. These resources include, but are not limited to, crisis intervention and homeless diversion, intake assessment and triage, case management and housing navigation, case conferencing, employment opportunities, connection to mainstream resources, and referrals. These services are enhanced through the organization's working relationships and formal agreements with partnering service providers, community health clinics, local government, and philanthropy to provide services such as services specifically for transition age youth, physical and behavioral health care, substance abuse treatment, pet care, employment opportunities, and financial literacy. An important component of the program model also is the proactive strategies and actions that will be implemented to ensure a clean and safe environment both in and around the Bridge Shelter site. Alpha Project is firmly committed to leveraging its existing resources while empowering Bridge Shelter clients and existing personnel to ensure that the program has a positive impact on the surrounding community. A few examples of the strategies that Alpha Project will implement to achieve this goal are development, implementation, and enforcement of good neighbor policies, leveraging their Wheels of Change and Take Back the Street programs, participation in and the development of community cleanups and beautification projects, and peer-to-peer outreach and engagement focused on individuals experiencing homelessness in and around the surrounding community. The budget detailed on this slide and the following slide varies from the one detailed in the staff report by $89,023. This is because the laundry service that was originally budgeted for in the operator contract will actually be procured and paid for by the city, so the cost was backed out of the overall operations budget. The budget for program operations in fiscal year 2020 totals $2,781,606, which is prorated for the 8.5-month operating term. Budgeted costs include $150,000 for ramp-up activities, $104,000 for initial supplies and fixtures, $2,395,863 for program operations, and $131,743 for housing commission expenses. Although funds to continue operations through the next fiscal year have not yet been identified, it is anticipated that the City of San Diego will commit state homeless housing assistance and prevention program funding toward future option year renewals. Option years will only be exercised contingent upon the appropriation of these resources by the City of San Diego. This slide provides a breakdown of the fiscal year 2020 funding for the three current Bridge Shelters and the proposed funding for the fourth shelter at 17th and Imperial. Alpha Project's existing Bridge Shelter, as well as the shelter operated by Veterans Village of San Diego, are funded using $7,100,000 in Housing Commission Moving to Work funds and $1,625,684 in Housing Commission Property Reserves. The Bridge Shelter operated by Father Joe's Villages is funded using $2,472,492 in Housing Commission Property Reserves. The fourth Bridge Shelter will be fully funded with city resources consisting of Homeless Emergency Aid Program and Low-Income Lease Revenue Funds, with the cost of ramp-up activities, initial supplies and fixtures, and operations totaling $2,649,863 and a further $131,743 in Low-Income Lease Revenue Funds for administration and oversight. The amounts detailed in the staff report and in today's presentation are prorated for the 8.5-month operating term in fiscal year 2020. Today we are asking the Housing Commission to recommend that the Housing Authority take the actions as detailed in the staff report and on the following slides. Approve an operating agreement with Alpha Project for initial term of October 16, 2019 through June 30, 2020, with 2 1-year options to renew to operate the city's Bridge Shelter located at 1710 Imperial. Authorize the execution of an agreement with Alpha Project in the amount of 2,640 $34,886 for initial operating period of October 16th through June 30th, 2020, and an annual operating budget amount for subsequent option years of $3,508,074 to provide bridge housing and emergency shelter services to persons experiencing homelessness in the City of San Diego. And authorize the Housing Commission's President and Chief Executive Officer to execute all documents necessary and or appropriate, and or appropriate to implement these approvals in a form and format approved by General Counsel, authorize the Housing Commission's President and CEO or designee to substitute funding sources and or increase compensation by no more than 20% of the total agreement amount for the proposed agreement, if necessary, without further action by the Board of Commissioners. And finally, we are asking the Board to recommend that both the Housing Authority and the City Council approve an amendment to the current Memorandum of Understanding between the City and the Housing Commission for the oversight and administration of the City's bridge shelters to include the new fourth bridge shelter at 1710 Imperial. This concludes our presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions you may have.
We also have Amy Gagno here, COO of Alpha Project, and she is also happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. We have one speaker on this item, and it is Keely Halsey from the Mayor's Office. Keely, go ahead.
Go on for me. There we go. Hi, good morning, Commissioners. I'm Keely Halsey, Chief of Homelessness Strategies and Housing Liaison for the City of San Diego. I'm here on behalf of the Mayor's Office today. On behalf of the Mayor, I ask that you take staff's recommendation and approve that the forward to the Housing Authority a recommendation of approval on these actions. It just so happens that this item is docketed on the same day that the Father Joe's project at 14th and Commercial was also on your agenda. As I'm sure you recall, the shelter for women and families, just by way of short history, was located on that site and needed to be moved in order to accommodate that important affordable housing project with permanent units. So that's a good reason to need to move the shelter, but it's been quite an undertaking. And city staff was able to identify the site at 17th and Imperial, brought that information to the Housing Authority and City Council in June, as Lisa mentioned. At that time, when the City Council and Housing Authority determined that the women and families should stay in their temporary location at Golden Hall, it provided us an opportunity because we were already under construction on the 17th and Imperial site. So we took that as an opportunity to serve, to expand our shelter program and to serve even more people. So as mentioned in the report, thoroughly covered the city identified funding that will take us through the first fiscal year. After that time, we would be looking to state funding in order to fill that need going forward. But I very much appreciate the board and Housing Commission staff partnership on all these mutual projects we have in furtherance of serving homeless needs in San Diego, and would appreciate a vote in support today. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any commissioner questions or comments? Vice Chair Clement.
No, I'm happy to see the women and family shelter staying where it's at. I think that's, I'm glad we're all on the same page there.
Okay. Hopefully you guys didn't all pick up that little whisper. briefly, I think this is Casey's first time in front of the commission. Correct? In your second? Well, I apologize. I just wanted to say welcome officially. And then with regard to the fourth shelter, I think it's probably safe to say that we were all surprised by the direction that this has gone. But I think given the severity of our situation in San Diego, flexibility, agility, ability to respond kind of on the fly as we learn more is not a bad thing. And I just want to give a lot of credit again to staff and to the mayor's office for putting their heads together and making things work, even when that was probably not what you prepared to speak to at any given meeting. And I do echo Vice Chair Klempner's comments. A place with walls is probably best for women and children, right? I think this is all a learning curve where we are getting better as a city, and I appreciate what's happening. I did have a quick question for Alpha. Ms. Gagneau, if you don't mind me bugging you real fast. I have a lot of faith in you, so I'm going to set you up for success, I hope. I have seen Alpha's tent.
Yes.
I am familiar with how Alpha operates. I am routinely impressed. Y'all make things happen, and it's really intensive one-to-one people work, and yes, I appreciate that. You all at Alpha have never ceased to go after additional contracts, additional work. Yep. Can you talk to us about capacity on a staff level? Because, again, I don't know that anyone saw this next opportunity happening. So I appreciate that you stand ready, but can you talk to us about how you're going to be ready on staff level?
Yes, I can. So after this meeting, after you approve, our job announcements are all going to go out, correct, Lisa? We can do that. So that's going to happen. We also have built into our proposal we're going to have a job fair. And that's already scheduled for the 16th, so the day after it goes to the next level. And we've also are going to focus a lot of our energies on peer staffing. So people that have graduated our programs and go to each of our permanent supportive housing sites, see if we can do that. Even people that are living in our current bridge shelter, if they're capable of doing it, they have the experience of it. So we're very confident that we're going to be staffed up. We also have just added two fiscal people to our fiscal department, which was a huge need. We're really optimistic we're going to be okay. We've never had a problem getting staffed up. With 70 people at the current one.
I totally believe it, but I would be remiss not to ask.
No, of course.
I also speak to one of the evaluation criteria was related to program readiness and timeline and be able to meeting. And I didn't speak to it in the presentation, but the soft opening is anticipated if the site stays in alignment with its timeline to be November 1st. So that's a soft opening with certain beds coming online and then the opportunity to ramp up staffing and beds from that point. So that was how one of the evaluation criteria that was scored. We also, in the ramp-up budget, have the ability to approve contracted recruiters for that purpose as well.
Great. I've brought this up before. I have significant heartburn about the future of the workforce that is going to be interfacing with our more vulnerable populations. That is just, it's a tough job. I imagine there's a lot of turnover. I understand that Alpha has done a very good job with the turnover question. So,
yes.
I mean, congratulations and kudos to your team.
Thanks.
But it is just something that I routinely am poking Lisa about, and thank you for your patience with me. Are there any other questions of Alpha Project before? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Do we? Knock on wood. Vice Chair Klempner.
So with respect to the reliance on state funding in future years, I'm sure there's at least a dozen people in this room who are more familiar with what's going on at the state than I am. Can somebody just explain to me how certain we are that that will be there for us?
So the state has already approved, as part of this past year's budget cycle, allocations to cities, counties, and COCs for this purpose, and an amount that is expected to exceed what we received in the last round. Last time it was $14.1 million for the city of San Diego and $18.8 million for the regional task force for the COC. So they've already approved that. The only remaining question, through the application process, we'll be able to determine what that actual dollar figure is, because it relies in part on the point in time counts, which have and the final process of being certified by HUD. So we will know this fall and expect to have those funds in city accounts by April of 2020.
That sounds fantastic. So we are just setting our spending up to line up with when the new funds become available. And you're certain that?
Certain that they'll be available from the state. It will require city council approval to use the state funds for this particular purpose.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any further questions? Do we have a motion? Moved by Commissioner Davis. Seconded by Vice Chair Klempner. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all. And item 105 will be the actions establishing President and CEO compensation for a period of September 19th, 2019 through September 18th, 2020, as recommended by the Ad Hoc CEO Performance Evaluation Committee of the San Diego Housing Commission. Mr. Christensen, did you have anything to say, or would you like me to just power through this one?
Yeah, but why don't you go through it if you need any assistance that you have to
Any legal advice mid-motion? Okay, thank you. As stated in a commissioner's report, myself and Vice Chair Klumpner did work with counsel to complete the review and provided some feedback given the past year. We did go through the requisite channels where the commissioners were notified of our recommendation, provided opportunity to give feedback, so this is our final step. Just to reiterate some of the conversation that we had during that evaluation process, I think it is very fair, more than fair, to say that the San Diego Housing Commission is increasing in visibility. It is increasing in its position to fill very important needs within our city. And under the leadership of Mr. Gentry, we've been able to successfully do that, navigating channels that are both civically challenging, politically challenging, and of course, we would be silly to not say financially challenging. This is an expensive endeavor, and addressing our city's housing crisis is one that everybody in this room has taken on very seriously, but under the leadership of the president and CEO. So we feel very confident in our positioning to move forward, and given that, have provided the recommendation that is outlined in the report. So is there any additional comments or feedback? This is an action item that will require a motion. Okay. Do we have a motion? I will move. Can I do that?
Yes.
Okay. I have moved. Thank you, Commissioner Hester. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. And I realize that I skipped over you. Okay. Oh. All right. Thank you. So that was our final item before our workshop on the strategic plan. We did have public comment from Ms. Sinyata, who I believe got hung up with some security issues. Very secure building. I apologize for that. But we'll go ahead and allow Ms. Sinyata her minutes to provide some public comment now, if you'd like to take that.
And then press it down once when I go? Well, I probably won't do that, but... Good morning. I think it's good morning still. I'm so honored to always have an opportunity to speak at the microphone. And I just wanted to express a concern I have for you, for all of you, for you too. Some of you know that I have these three P's, which I made up as to focus my work for housing and the crisis we're facing. Preservation, prevention, and powering. And I'm really concerned about this area because the more and more I've worked with it and listened to all of you and studied it, I realize that how much there is that needs to be done to coordinate the systems, the flowing of it, and all of that. So I don't know how much focus is being put on that because there's so much to look at right now. But I'm very concerned that our preservation systems are in trouble. And I just can't ask you enough from my heart that we need to look at that. And I'm just going to read you a little blip from each of my P's. So the first P is preservation. Preservation of what we already have. Prevention, so we don't lose any we have and create more homelessness. And three, powering people with the knowledge they need to understand the systems involved. So is my time up? Not yet. Let me know, please. So I think all of us are beginning to put the focus on preservation. And I think a lot of people are realizing what's missing and that it really is in trouble. And so I just hope that in the midst of all of this, creating new stuff and, you know, looking at all these funds and everything, we've got to make sure. I asked for more money on prevention in the last budget. I didn't get it, as far as I know. And I just don't want us to lose these three P's. And I'm really concerned that it's not being looked at enough. So we've got to preserve what we've got. We've got to prevent any loss in that area and help the elderly and all the people that perhaps will lose. We've lost some of these preservation units recently. And where are these people now? Is anybody following them to find out, you know, did they become homeless? We've lost some units. I wish I knew the exact number. And the last one, the power ring, that's my favorite of all, because I know myself, I have empowered my own self through the years, and it just makes a difference. So please look at these three P's, and please give more attention with the time, precious time that you have, to preservation, because I think it is in trouble. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have a workshop now on the Housing Commission Strategic Plan 2016 through 2020.
Good morning, Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. I'm Saket Dayal, Senior Vice President of Strategic Operations and Policy, and with me is Maria Angela Petruno, our Moving to Work Special Programs Administrator. This is our third annual presentation to the Board about our progress towards the goals and objectives identified in the agency-wide strategic plan. When it was approved by the Board on September 9, 2016, the plan was viewed as a four-year strategic plan. It was also envisioned and identified as a living document that would be updated as needed. With that sentiment in mind, we anticipate this will be our final report to you under the current plan as we begin working on a new strategic plan. The Board took an essential step in the process last month by approving the new members to the Board's Strategic Plan Committee, and we look forward to your guidance and direction. We would like to take a quick moment to recognize the commissioners, present and past, who served on the committee and thank them for their vision. Chair Benvenuto, Commissioners Hubbard, Urtasun, Walsh, Gramling, Spoon, and Moraga. I also would like to acknowledge our Housing Commission team. The efforts are reflected in the outcomes, as you will see. We've accomplished a lot, but we'll restrict ourselves to the highlights in the last 3 years as we continue to provide housing assistance to thousands of families in our city. The plan provides a framework to identify how we can have the greatest possible impact with limited financial resources to optimize affordable housing rental opportunities. It identified three main goals: maximizing resources, increasing housing opportunities, and advocating for effective policies and resources. A quick note on the format of the presentation: each slide will have one of the goals and the corresponding objectives that applies to the activities that we'll be highlighting for you today. So let's start with our first goal. Now, this goal focuses on efficiencies and has seven objectives. The first objective, the core of this objective, was using technology to improve customer service, and we accomplished this by redesigning our website, adding dashboards, and building our portals. Website redesign focused on the basic. Let's put the user first. Launched in July 2018, it is easier to navigate, more visually appealing, and responsive on different devices. We also created data dashboards about our agency that provide informational snapshots on our website, enhancing our transparency as a government agency. This year, we've continued to create secure electronic platforms that provide easy access to information for our participants and partners. We updated our landlord portal and developed new portals like the San Diego Housing Commission borrower portal and lender portal. Second objective under this goal focuses on increasing efficiencies. Our procurement team, in addition to launching the vendor portal, also implemented other streamlining measures like simplifying the management of insurance certificates and the integration of electronic signature using DocuSign. The Rental Assistance Department undertook Kaizen analysis to improve specific processes, and their business process reengineering project received an award of merit this year at the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, or NARO. The third objective focused internally and supports business continuity and the personal growth of our employees. We developed a career development plan in fiscal year 2017. The employee focus group, management interviews, and all employee surveys helped us identify the importance of career development conversations between the employees and their direct supervisors. In addition, a pilot mentoring program was introduced in the fiscal year 2018 that connects employees with mentors in other departments within the agency. This gave them exposure to a different team within the agency and maybe a chance to grow. Pictured on the slide is the first official graduating class, the mentors and the mentees, and its success led us to continue the program in this fiscal year. So back in 2010, there was a study that showed HUD had an estimated backlog of $26 billion in capital needs, and it was increasing by an average of $3.4 billion every year. Fast forward 9 years, that's a lot of money. We recognize the significance of investing in our properties and ensuring the long-term viability. In fiscal years 2017, 18, and 19, we've invested $60 million to make improvements to over 2,000 units and 42 single-family homes in our real estate portfolio. These efforts have impacted approximately 5,200 residents. Similarly, a partner to it was long-term view, and to plan for capital improvement needs for many years to come, we've made updates to our long-term capital plan as well. As part of the planning, we're optimizing our portfolio to support the production of companion units, also known as accessory dwelling units or ADUs or granny flats, in the city of San Diego. A side note, ADUs were identified as one of the five main sources of potential additional housing units over the next 10 years in our Addressing the Housing Affordability Crisis, San Diego Housing Production Objectives 2018-28 report. Objective 6 under efficiencies was decreasing the average number of days that our units are held vacant. The current occupancy rate for Housing Commission-owned affordable rental housing units is approximately 98%, and we know the demand is tremendous. So our next objective was to reduce the average number of days that our units remain vacant by 20%. We optimized the leasing process through a cross-departmental collaboration and implemented standard metrics in preparing a unit for move-in-ready condition. This year, we also incorporated unit upgrades as we turn our units to support the durability of our properties while maintaining a sustained reduction in the average number of days vacant. This has resulted in a 30% decrease in the number of days a unit remains vacant. The Housing Commission is a leading partner in efforts to address homelessness in the city and is working with a national consultant, as mentioned earlier by Mr. Gentry, Corporation for Supportive Housing, to develop a citywide strategic plan to address homelessness. Additionally, the Housing Commission administers the city's homeless and shelters and services programs. Towards this objective, we are regularly measuring the benchmarks and outcomes of our operator contracts and have included updates in our fiscal year 2020. Mariangela will now provide updates on Goal 2 and its four objectives.
The second major goal of our strategic plan is to increase housing opportunities for the families the Housing Commission serves. The Housing Commission set the objective to create 2,000 units of mixed income and affordable housing over the 4 years of our strategic plan. The developments and real estate transactions from NOFAs that the board has approved over 3 years of the strategic plan will create around 3,300 units, including manager's units, when all of the units are completed. Of these, around 1,200 units have completed construction. This includes rental housing units that provide permanent supportive housing for San Diegans experiencing homelessness and transit-oriented development. Federal Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Rental Assistance, the Housing Commission's largest program, also provides essential housing opportunities for low-income families. We set an ambitious objective to achieve a voucher utilization rate of 102%, which we are able to attain among several quarters. Throughout fiscal years 2017, 2018, and 2019, the combined average lease rate was 101%. Part of the Housing Commission's mission is to provide opportunities to improve the quality of life for the families that the Housing Commission serves. Among these opportunities are the programs of the Achievement Academy, which emphasize career planning, job skills, job placement, and personal financial education. As of the end of fiscal year 2019, the overall average hourly income of the Achievement Academy participants increased approximately 18% since fiscal year 2016, from $11.62 to $13.76 per hour. And the average hourly wage is 13% higher than the $12 minimum wage in California. The Achievement Academy also launched the Bridges to Career Opportunities program this past year. This career development program helps participants move into vocational training within information technology, hospitality, and healthcare fields. 10 participants have passed state exams for certified nurse assistant and home healthcare provider certifications. Of these 10, 9 participants are currently placed in jobs. One of the current participants in this program is a former certified nursing assistant who had lost her license while caring for her daughter, who had been injured in an accident. She is now working towards regaining her career. We have a short video to share her story with you.
My family was struggling a lot. A lot. My kids suffer a lot. And that's the hardest part, is when your children are suffering. And I tried to set, try to be the best role model for my babies that I can be. I have a daughter who was hit by a careless driver, and she became quadriplegic due to that. So I was unable to work because I needed to stay and help her and focus on her. And I do have other children that have also have disabilities, but hers is a little bit more, a lot of it more, it's intense. So because of that, it caused me to not be able to work as much, at all, actually. And so because of that, I had to cut my career short to take care of my kids. I was a nurse when I first applied. Yes, I was a CNA at the time, I believe, because that was in 2004 when I first applied. And the process of that, I was unable because it's so demanding. Taking care of a child with special needs is extremely demanding. And because it's so extremely demanding, I was unable to keep up with my CEUs that I was speaking about earlier, which is continuing education units. And because I was unable to keep up with those, I lost my license. So I had to do something to keep us together. And so I applied for Section 8. The Achievement Academy has helped me with goals, setting goals, proper goals, achieving some of them. Not only did they help me with school, they helped me with financial, like helping me do better with my credit, money managing. They've also helped me with, they helped me with gas to get back and forth to school. So now that I'm standing, the next thing is I'm going to run really fast, and I'm going to make it to the goal, I promise.
When the strategic plan was developed and approved in 2016, our next objective was to create housing opportunities for 350 additional households through rapid rehousing and new permanent supportive housing. Subsequently, the Housing Commission created and launched the current phase of Housing First San Diego, our homelessness action plan, on July 1, 2017. In the first 2 years, Housing First San Diego created approximately 4,700 housing opportunities for San Diegans experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. Its three-year goal, surpassing its three-year goal of 3,000 housing opportunities. The programs of Housing First San Diego include rapid rehousing and permanent supportive housing, which make up the original strategic plan objective. As of fiscal year 2019, our Moving Home Rapid Rehousing Program housed 322 households that were experiencing homelessness. Lola and her family are among the San Diegans who have a rental home of their own today because of the Moving Home Rapid Rehousing Program. Lola shares a story in this brief video.
The last apartment we were at, which was in City Heights, North Park, kind of on the cusp, switched to a different realty company. They sold to a realty company. We decided, we'll just, go to a motel, move out of our current place, go to a motel for a little while, find a new place. That had happened before. We just financially couldn't swing it. It wasn't like we were horribly displaced or, in a horrible, at some horrible place in our lives. We just didn't have what it took to rent a place. We went to an emergency shelter for a while, for about a month. That's the allotted time you can stay there. And then we found the safe lot, and it was easier for us because we had our own controlled environment. In a shelter, you're kind of pressed against different people, which is okay, but it's also hard to maintain an integrity as a family. So we would go to a park, park there for, because that's when parks are open, is at 6 in the morning. So go to a park and, you know, let the girls sleep a little longer. And then you have to go to somewhere where there's a bathroom, so it's good to be at a park. Then you get up for the day, you know, you get ready, toiletries, all that stuff. And then, you know, it was either taking the girls to the library to get lessons done, me going to class, you know, whatever the daily schedule was, we would just get it done. And then, you know, around dinner time, around 6, that's when you head to the lot, eat dinner, do it all over again. So my oldest daughter had the very back because she was the biggest and she could kind of angle her legs around the seat. The next middle in the minivan was my youngest daughter, because my middle daughter, Mabel, she wanted to sleep next to me. So she would sleep next to me and I'd sleep in the driver's seat. So I just reclined my seat, and then we would put shades up or around the car just so we had, you know, because there's a lot of street lights, a lot of, you know, car lights and stuff like that. So then with the help of the housing navigator, she was able to link us up with the actual housing commission. Nick at the housing commission, he worked with us, helped us, you know, and then right at that same time, someone that was staying at the safe lot with us handed me the application for this apartment. You know, we're able to have a sense of normalcy, a sense of security we didn't have before. For 4 years, we didn't really have that sense of, like, this is where I'm going to be for a while. So it's okay to decorate. It's okay to, you know. This is a happy puppy. Winry and Mabel are sharing a room, and then Logan gets her own room just because of the age difference. I feel like it would just be cats and dogs, and they just had to be smacked up against each other for a long time. So yeah, and then Derek and I have the bedroom with the other bathroom. You know, just a big thank you to the housing commission. They have, you know, they've afforded us a place to live and a chance to get on our feet, and that they recognize that and honored that by giving us an opportunity is a big thing. So, thank you.
So we move on to our final goal that has 3 objectives. And this goal was more for advocating for effective, affordable housing policies and resources. And this objective focuses on our role among stakeholders. In the first 2 years of the strategic plan, our CEO, Mr. Gentry, testified twice before congressional subcommittees and participated in congressional staff briefings. He also serves on numerous boards, including NARO, the newly formed Moving to Work Collaborative, the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities, CLAPA, and is chairman of the Public Housing Authorities Duty to Serve Advisory Council. At the state level, the Housing Commission has supported important legislation for the creation and preservation of affordable rental housing. Housing Commission seeks direction from members of the Housing Authority works with other officials on policy decisions at a local level. One of our current projects is the Preservation Study to help identify an estimate of the deed-restricted and naturally occurring affordable, or NOAA, housing stock and measures to help preserve these units. Our next objective is to expand private and government funding sources to support Housing Commission programs. As part of this goal, the Housing Commission was awarded nearly $4 million in new funding received from a combination of sources such as State Farm's Good Neighbor Citizenship Company Award, HUD's Mainstream Vouchers, and U.S. Bank Foundation. Due to changes in funding priorities, the Transit-Oriented Development Fund was delayed, and the $10 million previously designated to this fund was not allocated to it. These funds were repurposed and included as a funding source through our Notice of Funding Availability for the development of permanent supportive housing and rental units. This approach creates an opportunity to expedite the development of projects in the pipeline for the construction that need gap financing. Partnerships are crucial to addressing homelessness in the city of San Diego, which involve a diverse population with differing needs. Our strategic plan includes an objective to collaborate with partners to assist additional homeless populations. Through collaboration with Father Joe's Villages, HomeStart, and South Bay Community Services, the Housing Commission was able to institute a program in fiscal year 2017 that provided rapid rehousing assistance to transitional age youth who are between the ages of 18 and 24. We're also utilizing the city's Homeless Emergency Aid Program funds to support high-need families by providing intensive services and longer-term rental assistance, which will enhance stabilization and permanent housing. This concludes our presentation. Staff from all of our departments is here this morning to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? The commissioners will remember that we did appoint folks from this body to serve on the refresh, revise, new strategic plan that we'll be endeavoring to take on, given that we have surpassed so many of the goals. Congratulations to staff, to leadership as well. And given the increasing responsibility that the Housing Commission has and our role that we play in homelessness, it is appropriate that we start thinking about what the next iteration will be. I'm very hopeful that the homeless strategic document that will also be live will help us to inform what that all looks like. So everybody stay tuned. Thank you very much for the presentation. Last call for questions. Okay. Thank you. That adjourns this meeting. We will now be moving into close. Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Signata did give us a speaker slip. Thank you for the reminder.
The sorry is nice, but please don't do this. This is important to let our voices be heard.
I just want to clarify. It was a complete oversight. I apologize.
It's enough that I had the situation with the non-agenda public comment, but to be skipped over for this item, it's really discouraging and sad. So I hope you start my time now. Joy Sunyata, District 3. I downloaded this report. Really glad I did. Thank you for your presentation. It was very, very good. And when I looked at the second page, I really love this third page. I really love this picture here of the people and the words, "We're about people." So thank you for that. Let's never forget that not only we are about people, but all of these peoples are human, and we're all human. So we're in this together. So let's always remember that. So under, objective one on page 6 and 7, I wanted to ask if there's any way that I can find out objective six, the answer to objective six, the current answer, decrease average number of days vacant for San Diego Housing Commission owned units by 20, I can't read that number. But in any case, I'm just curious just where we are with that. That's on page 6 or 7, objective six. So I think that's a wonderful thing that you've got stated right there, and I'm so glad that you're looking at that. And then the other thing I wanted to point out, the last thing, is on page 10, 11, with the wonderful picture of all the government officials. That's cool. I wanted to focus on objective three, and I think that I'd like to include in those, I'm sure it's in there already, but I know it's very minimal at the state level, and that's what we're doing for the homeless elderly. And I have some real concerns about this, because when I looked at those figures about how many are dying on the streets that are elderly, it's kind of hard to find those figures, but they're very low. It drops off very fast when you get over, I think it's maybe over 75, but don't quote me on that. So I think that on the state level, perhaps on national, I don't know. I haven't looked at that, and I think even local, let's not forget our vulnerable senior citizen elderly. This town, this city, this county, this is what's growing. The elderly, the aging, that's our biggest growing population all over San Diego. So we need to focus on that, and they need us, and we're all going to get old fast. Surprise me. And so please help whatever you can, especially on the state level, to get these funds for the elderly. And thanks for this report. And I also love the historical perspective, because I didn't know the name of the people. I don't know the people, but it was wonderful to see all these people that came together way back in, I think, 2016 and first got this rolling. It was just enjoyable to get that information. So thank you again, and thanks for being patient with me and allowing me to speak. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. Do you happen to have off the top of your head the vacant or the days left vacant? We did make progress on that goal, I believe, but 30%.
Yeah. It's from 50 days to 36 days.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. That now, I do believe, will adjourn the meeting and move into closed session. Thank you, everybody.